Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from him who was, from him who is, and from him who indeed will come again, Jesus the Christ. The word of God for you today is from the prophet Isaiah that you just heard read, especially these words that point us rather directly to Jesus Christ. I dwell in the high and holy place to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. I have seen his, man's, ways and will heal him. I will also lead him and restore comforts to him. Peace, peace to him who is far off and to him who is near, and I will heal him. Isaiah lived during the time of the fall of the northern kingdom, but as God's instrument, he was projected into the future to be able to see things far beyond his time, much in the same way that St. John was projected in his writing of Revelation. In our text today, Isaiah comments on the return of the people of Judah from exile in Babylon, something which happened not until 100 years after, in fact, Isaiah was dead. But indeed, the Lord, writing through Isaiah, depicts clearly the words and the events that he would have us understand. Now, you might say, what relevance today for us are words directed to a people of biblical times returning from exile? Well, in a very narrow and immediate sense, we too have returned from exile, a 2 or 3 day exile from our beloved campus, carried off into exile by the invading tornado. But in a larger sense, we continually fight being carried off into exile by our own wretched flesh, by the alluring world around us, and by the head of all evil principalities, the devil himself. So what does the Lord say to those returning from exile, to the Jews, to you, and to me? His message is pure, clear law and gospel, consisting of 2 points. And first, since I'm a homiletics professor, the law. God tells the Jews, and he tells you, and he tells me, that he is furious with the covetousness of man. The Lord says, "For the iniquity of his, man's, covetousness, I was angry and struck him. I hid and was angry, and he went on backsliding in the way of his heart." Life was relatively easy for the people of Judah in Babylon, and has been relatively easy for us. You see, the Jews had made a physical return from Babylon, but they hadn't quite yet made fully the spiritual return. They were consumed with the things of life and not the things of God. We too, if the truth be known, either take life for granted and take all of our material possessions for granted, or in the alternative, we become consumed with them. Yes, even our beautiful trees, our shrubs, our grassy fields, the lovely buildings, and the park-like environment of our campus can become a tempting idol, especially as we consider that now returning from our tornado exile. And the tornado provides us with just a bit of a reminder of how we covet many other things in life. Possessions, positions of power, offices, positions of authority, social acceptance, and yes, perhaps even the love of others. This coveting is clearly sin and must be repented of so that it does not end up moving us into unbelief and into the ranks of what Isaiah calls the wicked. For you see, Isaiah depicts a destiny for the wicked which is quite severe. Listen again. The wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace for the wicked. Just picture a turgid lake whose bottom never settles, whose waters continually are disturbed, which is mucky and dirty, into which you can never see very far. That is a picture of the heart of the repentant who are never at rest in hell. Paul's first letter to Timothy puts it this way concerning covetousness. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, we shall be content. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many kinds of sorrows. So that's the law. Don't be consumed with material things or sorrow over their loss, for there is a great spiritual danger involved. Repent of covetousness. Now for the gospel. In spite of our sinfulness and the sinfulness of the Jews at the time of their return from exile, and indeed because of their sinfulness and our sinfulness, God has provided us with salvation in Jesus Christ. He who dwells in a high and holy place comes to revive our hearts and spirits. He becomes incarnate. In the face of our sin, God the Father says that he will not be angry forever, but that his love in Jesus Christ will endure forever. The love that we see manifested in Christ's atoning life, death, resurrection, and his continuing presence with us in word, baptism, absolution, and Eucharist. This same loving God says that he will heal us, he will lead us, and he will comfort us, even in spite of and in the face of our sinfulness. Isn't it wonderful that the one who inhabits eternity came into time and into our human flesh to redeem us? Isn't it wonderful that the one whose name is holy brought holiness to us, the unholy? Isn't it wonderful that the one who is high and lofty came and comes to us of humble and contrite spirit? Isn't it wonderful that the one who is one with the Father and the Spirit sent his Spirit to revive our dead spirits? Isn't it wonderful that even in the face of our covetousness, Christ forgives that covetousness and nailed that covetousness to his cross? And isn't it wonderful that Christ gives us his very Spirit in baptism, word, and sacrament, in the words of our text, to comfort us, to lead us, and to restore us? All of these things he has done even as we return from the tornado exile. These things he will continue to do as we, the baptized, assemble in this place, on this campus, to proclaim salvation in Christ and to train men to carry forth this wonderful, blessed new reality unto the ends of the earth. Isaiah sums it all up at the end of our reading very beautifully in these words: peace, peace to him who is far off and to him who is near. That peace is Jesus Christ. That peace is the forgiveness not only of our sins, but of our sinful nature itself. That peace is the peace which carries us back from whatever tornado exiles come into our lives. Yes, indeed, in Christ we have the true peace, the true refuge from all the tornadoes of our lives. This peace is your peace. In his name, amen.